From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the Book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, the founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Precious Repentance. The text is found in Ezekiel chapter 20 and verse 43. And there shall ye remember your ways and all your doings wherein ye have been defiled, and ye shall loathe yourselves in your own sight for all your evils that ye have committed. When we are accepted of the Lord and are standing in the place of favor and peace and safety, then we are led to repent of all our failures and miscarriages toward our gracious God. So precious is repentance that we may call it a diamond of the first water. And this is sweetly promised to the people of God as one most sanctifying result of salvation. He who accepts repentance also gives repentance, and he gives it not out of the bitter box, but from among those wafers made with honey on which he feeds his people. A sense of blood-bought pardon and of undeserved mercy is the best means of dissolving a heart of stone. Are we feeling hard? Let us think of covenant love, and then we shall leave sin, lament sin, and loathe sin. Yea, we shall loathe ourselves for sinning against such infinite love. Let us come to God with this promise of penitence and ask Him to help us to remember and repent and regret and return. Oh, that we could enjoy the meltings of holy sorrow! What a relief would a flood of tears be! Lord, smite the rock or speak to the rock and cause the waters to flow.
Christ, stop.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, we read, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and will forgive their sins, and will heal their land." In these days, when the forces of evil are devastating our land, God's people need to pray. More than that, we must engage in united prayer. Just as the apostles and the early church were of one accord gathering for prayer, the cry for our day must be, "Let us pray." To encourage the Lord's people to this end, Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a new publication entitled The Case for United Prayer. Presented within its pages are excerpts from the works of Jonathan Edwards, Samuel Prime, and Pastor Richard Cross. The centerpiece of the book is Samuel Prime's first-hand account of the famous New York City prayer meetings of 1857, begun by one man, Jeremiah Lanphier. This simple effort was blessed by God until prayer meetings sprang up all over the nation and ushered in a mighty revival that spread across the sea to Great Britain, culminating in the great 1859 revival in Northern Ireland. To obtain your copy of The Case for United Prayer free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Case for United Prayer, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing his series of studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings part one of a two-part message entitled, One Bible, One Gospel. Paul referred to the gospel he preached as the gospel of God. There have been those who have taught and continue to teach that Paul's gospel was unique to him, that it had little or no relation to the rest of Scripture, particularly to the Old Testament. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns is demonstrating that the Bible is one book, that the gospel Paul preached is contained in the Old Testament as well as in the New. In the first message, we saw that the Old Testament gave advance promises of the gospel of Christ through the various covenants, the prophecies, the types, and the historical events. Today, Dr. Cairns again sets out the proposition that the whole of inspired Scripture centers upon the gospel of Jesus Christ as God's sole way of salvation. Now, to continue on the theme of one Bible, one gospel, here is Dr. Cairns.
The book of Romans, chapter 1. Last Sabbath evening, we got to the second verse of Romans, chapter 1. We will read the first three verses just to see the second verse in its full setting. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I've been at pains over these first few messages to point out that this is an epistle in which the apostle sets before us very powerfully a great statement of theme that is found in verse 16 and 17 of the first chapter. Later on, as he works that out, we will see how he distributes all the material that he's going to employ in teaching the truth of this great thematic statement. He distributes all the material under two main headings. I've mentioned them. We will come back to them in detail in 1, 2, or 10 weeks' time, as the Lord may lead, when we get that far. At the moment, we are looking at the greeting, which is the longest of all Paul's greetings in any of his epistles. That will lead to an introductory passage, but they are all leading up to the great statement of theme. The thematic statement is, in reality, God hath revealed to us a glorious and a powerful gospel message. It is the message of justification for sinners by faith alone, without works. And it comes to us on the merit of Christ and by the imputation to us of his perfect righteousness. This is what Paul is dealing with throughout this epistle. And the more I look at the epistle, the more I am convinced that down to the smallest detail, Paul is working by inspiration every strand of truth back into that fundamental, central statement of theme. I pointed out that in verse 1, for example, he says, this is the gospel of God. This is the gospel. It's not just an aspect of the gospel. It's not just some peripheral matter to do with the gospel. It is not some deduction drawn from the gospel. This is the very meat and marrow of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as he deals with that in verse 1, Paul says this is the apostolic gospel. Now in verse 2, he is making the statement, this is the gospel of the entire Bible. And the great theme before us in verse 2, as I announced it last Lord's Day, is very simple. It is one Bible, one gospel. One Bible, one gospel. The whole of inspired Scripture, this is the apostle's contention. And this is my contention. This will be the labor to establish this tonight and indeed throughout our studies in Romans. That the whole of inspired Scripture centers on the gospel of God, what Paul calls the gospel of Christ, as God's sole way of saving sinners at any point in time in the history of his dealings with men. Now, last week we made a lot of progress. We got point one cleared away, where we dealt with the character of the Old Testament according to this second verse of Romans 1. It is the Holy Scriptures. That's the Old Testament he's talking about there. It's the Holy Scriptures. And the Holy Scriptures are described as the advance promise of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week I took the time, whether I had it or not, I took it, because I think it's very important that God's people get out of the trap that has been so foolishly set before them by preachers who know no better, of isolating the Old Testament from the centrality of the gospel of Christ, making the Old Testament Jewish history, failing to see its integral union with the gospel of the New Testament. And I was showing last week how in various ways the Old Testament is full of advance promises of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. The covenants give advance promises of the gospel. The prophecies of the Old Testament gave advance promises of the gospel. We looked at some of those prophecies. The types of the Old Testament gave advance promises of the gospel. And even the historical events of the Old Testament gave advance promises of the gospel. So that we can only come to the conclusion of a famous Lutheran commentator, R.C. Hlensky, when he said it is beyond question that in their writings the prophets stated the full contents of the gospel in advance. The Old Testament saints were saved by faith in those very contents, as indeed we also are saved. Now, having dealt with the character of the Old Testament, I want us to consider something that's very vital to the whole scheme of biblical revelation, and that is the connection of the Old Testament with the New. You will see that in our English Bible, verse 2 of Romans 1 appears in parentheses. And I really have no quarrel with that. There's very good reason why the translators put these words in parentheses. I think that their main reason is to ensure that we make the connection that Paul intended us to make directly between the end of verse 1 and the beginning of verse 3. The gospel of God concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The gospel of God is the gospel concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. That's a very important connection to make, so the parentheses are well conceived. However, having said that, it is possible for us to obscure another truth just by noting the parentheses, and that is that while it is true that Paul wants us to conjoin the end of verse 1 with the beginning of verse 3, I think that equally he wants us to see another truth, that the promises of the Old Testament, verse 2, are promises concerning God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's vital to an understanding of all the promises of the Old Testament, and we're going to be coming back to that. Something else I think you almost unconsciously, it might be something put in parentheses that, well, it's really of lesser importance than what goes before and what comes after. And that would be a grave mistake to make here. Because what Paul is dealing with here is not a matter of minor importance. So important is the fact that the New Testament gospel is the theme of the entire Old Testament. So important is that fact in this book of Romans that Paul makes it into a very major theme. And to establish the truth that his glorious, his powerful message for the world is the very same message that God had been promising throughout the Old Testament, to establish that fact, Paul argues the case in no less than 10 separate places throughout this epistle to the Romans. Now, it would be a major study in itself for me to go through all 10 of those places, you'll understand. But I don't want you simply to take my word on it. We have read verse 1 and verse 2. So immediately he is getting into it. Go down to verse 17. And he's talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, where? Habakkuk chapter 2. It is written, the just shall live by faith. Chapter 3, verse 21. In what is in many ways the focal point of Paul's argument in this first part of the epistle. We'll see when we get to this 21st verse. But now, those are the words that should always alert you in the writings of Paul. When Paul is mounting an argument and he's going along, and then he says, but now, always be aware, you are at a very critical point in the argument. And so we are here. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. So once again, Paul is saying the gospel I'm preaching is the gospel that the law and the prophets were preaching. Chapter 4, verse 3. Talking about Abraham as the example of a man justified by grace through faith alone in Christ. For what saith the Scripture? Notice the argument. My gospel is the gospel by which Abraham was saved. What saith the Old Testament Scripture? It's the same argument. Later on in chapter 4, from verse 6 through to verse 25, the end of the chapter, he goes on dealing with David, and then he comes back to Abraham. And throughout that long passage, it's the argument from these Old Testament illustrations that this gospel that I'm preaching, that the Jews so despise and they hate and they're objecting to, and Jews were saying then what apostates are saying today, this is a Pauline imposition upon the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, it is not my invention, it is not my imposition, it is not a departure, it is the very gospel that God has been preaching throughout the Old Testament. Just look at Abraham, the father of the nation. Just look at David, the greatest king of Israel. Just look at these two mighty mountains of Old Testament testimony and history, and see in them the gospel that I'm preaching unto you. You find the same thing in chapter 9, verse 27. You'll find that there the apostle this time cites Isaiah. Actually, you can go a little earlier to 25, and he's quoting Hosea, speaking of the Gentiles. And now, verse 27, Isaiah speaking of Israel. And in both, he is making the same point. I'm preaching this gospel of Jesus Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation to the Jews and to the Gentiles. Where am I getting it? Go back to Hosea. Go back to Isaiah. That's where I'm getting my gospel of Jesus Christ. Those are the proof texts.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.